This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL Urbana. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Rich Warren, host of the Midnight Special, is with us this afternoon. Rich, what was that?
That was Greg Brown's song Early, as performed uniquely by Victoria Williams, I believe it is. From a CD, it's about 16 or 17 major female artists interpreting the songs of Greg Brown. It's called Going Driftless. And what makes this CD very special is both the artists and Greg Brown are donating all of the royalties and proceeds from the recording to breast cancer research. So it's a good cause as well as a great CD artistically, because Greg Brown is one of our finest singer-songwriters. And these women on the CD, that everybody is on here. I think Lucy Kaplansky and Farron, and you can read the list there. You have it in front of you.
Iris DeMent, yeah. Annie DeFranco, Robin Lee Barry, Victoria Williams, Eliza Gilkison,
yeah,
who we've played before on the program. Lucinda Williams, yeah, everybody.
It's quite an all-star list,
Mary
and Chapin, some great
Carpenter
songs.
Yeah.
So that's on the Red House label, and it certainly is good music for a good cause. And we always play such serious songs, you know, when I come over here. And I wanted
sometimes
to play something that was a little,
yeah,
bit goofy, you know, a little bit off the wall. And that interpretation of what's a fairly straight song by Greg is kind of off the wall. And I just love the way she does that.
Yeah, well, that oom-pa-pa thing, yeah, is really nice, very nice. Rich Warren is our guest here this afternoon here on the Afternoon Magazine. Listeners, I invite your phone calls for Rich. Perhaps you've made a musical discovery you'd like to share with us, or you have some news from singer-songwriter land. Join us with your questions and comments. If you're in the Champaign-Urbana area, the number is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Rich is the host of the Midnight Special. The program's produced at WFMT in Chicago and heard on many public radio stations, including our companion station, WILL-FM. You can hear the program Friday nights on WILL-FM from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. So what's new?
Well, you know, the CDs just keep coming out in an avalanche. It's every time I go in the WFMT every week, there's a bin under the mailbox. It's a large postal bin they use to bring in mail, mm-hmm, and it's full to the top with new CDs. And to go through all these CDs, even try to listen to all of them now, is quite a task. I wouldn't call it a chore, but it's definitely a task, because there's so much out there. Now, fortunately, about half of them either aren't part of the Midnight Special format or are not really that good and you know, won't get played on the radio. But let's say there's 10 a week worth playing, and I only have 3 hours to play music. And of the 3 hours, there has to be the old favorites from people from the 50s and 60s and 70s and show tunes and comedy. So it's hard getting all this great new music on the air. I could go all night with these. There's so much fine music coming out.
Yeah. Well, what do you do, though, also when you find something that's new, that's really good, but, you know, it's just not quite Midnight Special territory?
Well, if it's really good, I'll bend the rule. I mean, there's no iron walls for the Midnight Special. So if it's rock and roll, or if it's blues, or if it's something that's out of the genre, as long as it's in good taste, we'll bend the rules. I mean, we've played Bruce Springsteen and other pop artists who have done great work. And it, as long as it's, we played classical things, and if it's of interest to the Midnight Special, because the Midnight Special never had boundaries. That was the beauty of the program. It was a pretty wide open show as far as what we would play on it. So I'm trying to keep that tradition alive. It's not every week we do something outlandish, but also things that are controversial that might not be played in other stations, we try to play. And the Midnight Special is one of the first shows to play Janis Ian Singing Society's Child when no other station would touch it. In fact, the Midnight Special actually played the Beatles before WLS did, because one of our, I think Ray or Norm had been in London and picked up a record with the Beatles and said, this is novelty. This is a weird sounding group. We'll play it because they sound so unusual. And the rest is history. I can't say we contributed to their fame, but we certainly were willing to try something different. And that's been the case. We have one record of Peter Ustinov doing the Grand Prix of Gibraltar. It's a car race. It's 20 minutes long, and he does every sound, every car, every announcer, every fan. And this is before multi-tracking. He does it in real time, this whole race, of one person doing the vroom of the cars and the announcers and the crowd noises. It's really quite something. We used to play it in the special. You know, so there are no boundaries to what we play, as long as it entertains people.
Can you imagine that, listeners? You know, here's a little novelty act I heard while I was over on the other side of the pond. They're a group called the Beatles.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we pride ourselves in trying to be fresh and original and mixing things up on the Midnight Special. And sometimes I succeed and sometimes I don't, but it's always fun to try.
Okay, we've got a couple of listeners already lined up to talk to us. First, we're going to go to Terre Haute, toll-free line. Good afternoon. Is there a listener there on the toll-free line in Terre Haute? Good afternoon.
Hello?
No, okay. You know what? I think we really need to check out the phone system. Perhaps someone is listening and who can help us out there in the station. In the meantime, we'll try and go to the next caller who's here, Line 1, Urbana. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Great. Go ahead.
Just a question. I've heard about the Peter Ustinov Grand Prix of Gibraltar. Has that been re-released recently?
No, it's from an ancient recording. I don't believe it's on CD. We still have it in the library on the old LP, and one of these days I'm going to have to play it again, but it's so long is the problem that one playing serves for many years. So
I understand. I've been chasing that for a number of years and trying to get a copy for myself.
Well, I think maybe next May during the Indianapolis 500 we'll play it.
Oh, wonderful. I can't wait.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call. Other calls are welcome. 333-9455, 800-222-9455, the toll-free line. I have never heard that Grand Prix, Gibraltar.
It's pretty wild. Peter Ustinov is a genius, of course, and he also worked with Peter Sellers. He has some recordings he did with Peter Sellers. And I, you know, maybe we could raise our ratings by playing that because, you know, NASCAR is so popular now. Maybe we could, you know, pretend we're doing NASCAR and we'd get a whole bunch of new listeners for the Midnight Special.
Okay.
So
you come in next time with, you know, a big three on your T-shirt. We're there.
Plus the sponsored endorsements, of course.
Of course. Of course. There's an idea. What about public radio announcers coming in, you know, wearing...
I think that's a great idea. Then you wouldn't have to have as long a pledge drive. If you could just sell yourself, you know, if you had patches all over you from your various underwriters, you don't think so, huh?
I don't think so. Maybe on public TV it would work. I don't know, but on public radio. We could have Mike Sola and Ed Kieser in the evening at 9:58, right, with patches in jumpsuits. I like that idea.
I like that idea a lot. Yeah. And it could be fertilizer companies and seed companies, you know, and all the, you know. And,
yeah. Fit right in.
Yeah. So we could try that.
Okay. Boy, we're really here on a light a light note today, aren't we?
Well, we could get serious here.
Oh, okay. Do we have to?
Well, we'll vary it here.
Okay.
But I do have a new recording by Cy Kahn. And Cy Kahn, who's been at it for 30 or 40 years, is a political activist in the South. He spends most of his life actually organizing unions and rallying workers, especially in the weaving textile industry and to some extent in coal mining. And he's come out with a whole CD now of nothing but songs about cotton mill work, which is interesting. All the different aspects, from picking the cotton to weaving the cotton to spinning the cotton, et cetera, all songs about cotton mill work. It's called Threads. And ironically, I mean, strangely, it was made in Switzerland. He recorded this, and it was recorded in Switzerland. But there's a song here. It's kind of chilling and kind of true. It's called In the Spinning Mill, and I think it's interesting, and we ought to play it.
Okay.
When I was 12 years old,
years old, my mother walked me around the hill to work all day beside her in that Charleston cotton mill. There were so many mouths to feed and so much bread to win. I will never know, I will never know the way things might have been. In the spinning mill, I worked my life away. In the spinning mill, I worked my life away. Just a few years later, I was working at my loom when the handsome boss from the office walked into the spinning room. His blue eyes looked me over, his fingers touched my shirt. He said, if you will go with me, you'll never want for work. In the spinning mill, I worked my life away. In the spinning mill, I worked my life away. Him, he never said a word, but he took me off the first shift and he put me on the third, where the hours worked grew harder while the money made grew thin. I will never know, I will never know the way things might have been. In the spinning mill, I worked my life away. In the spinning mill, I worked my life away. So here's to all the bosses that live up on the hill, and here's to all the young girls that work in the spinning mill. Here's to all the promises that run so hot and cold in the corners of the spinning mill where love is bought and sold. In the spinning mill, in the spinning mill, I work my life away. In the spinning mill, in the spinning mill, I work my life away. In the spinning mill, in the spinning mill,
in a spinning mill, Cy Conn from the CD Threads. And you can't help but notice this is a song about a hard life working in the mill, but the melody is upbeat.
Well, I think some composers, some songwriters use that almost for the cognitive dissonance. It creates a sort of tension, and you actually hear the words better than if the melody is a mournful, slow dirge type thing. Leo Kottke used to do that. He used to find people who wrote songs with these really upbeat melodies he could do flash picking with, and these really downer lyrics, like Going from the Cradle to the Grave, for example, which has this wonderful, effusive, bubbly melody, and the song's about dying. And I think Cy used that to good. It catches your ear, this upbeat melody. You want to listen to it. Then you hear the words, and it just like knocked me over when I first heard the song. So
yeah. Well, also, I suppose this could be a tune that you could sing while you were working.
Exactly. A lot of these are pseudo-work songs. I mean, he's created them sort of as work songs, which you might have heard. He is so familiar with the mill work, and he's spent his whole life in the South organizing his grassroots organizing group that he runs. And so that's a major part of his life, and he's committed that. I mean, he spends as much time union organizing as he does recording or performing, but he's a terrific guy and sincere and dedicated and does a great show in person. And if he doesn't convince you to change your political beliefs, nothing will, because he's very, very convincing.
Let's talk with another listener. Line one, a caller in Bourbonnais. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. I was originally calling with a rather serious comment, but what you guys have been saying give rise to a question I'd like to ask. And a comment, as far as boosting ratings by going more commercial, you could always do Peter Schickele's sportscast of a symphony.
Oh, well, at WFMT, we've done that many times. In fact, during our fundraiser in a couple of weeks, we'll be playing that again, because the Midnight Special fundraiser on November 9th will be all songs and comedy about sports. So we're going to be using that Beethoven's Fifth sportscast as an example. So that's a good suggestion.
Okay. And along the lines of trying to track down comedy, do you know how I could get hold of some Derek and Clive?
Golly, I think you'd have to go to England, I think. Isn't that, if I'm not mistaken, we don't have that in the library per se, but I think that's a pseudonym for another,
Peter Cook
and Dudley Moore, right. And none of their stuff is available here in the U.S. that I know of, other than Beyond the Fringe. But I know that some of it's available in England. In fact, I'm going to go over there sometime next spring and do a CD collecting trip because you can't get any of that stuff here. I suppose if you sign on the Amazon.com English website, not the American one, the English one, you can find a lot of that stuff on Amazon.com in England. But that's the best bet.
Do you know how to track that down?
I think if you go to their main site here, you can find their subsidiary sites. I don't use Amazon personally much, but I think there's a way of finding it on their site. So.
I think it's AmazonUK.com.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, thank you. And now for the serious moment. I was appalled to learn really recently about the death of someone that you were an early and enthusiastic champion of, and that's Dave Carter.
Oh, yeah, he died in July, and we did a couple of tribute shows to him, plus played a concert we had of his. And this is he was 49 years old, and he was out jogging one morning, and he had a catastrophic heart attack and died almost on the spot. And he's a brilliant, brilliant writer, and his wife, his partner, Tracy Grammer, is carrying on his songs, and many other people are recording them now as well. And it's a great loss to the community because he was just reaching the prime of his songwriting, and it's a great loss to all of us.
Yeah, it really was. I echo everything you just said. Well, that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. Other calls are invited. 333-9455, the number in Champaign-Urbana. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Rich Warren, host of the Midnight Special, is here with us this afternoon here on the Afternoon Magazine. And we're now having him signed up on a quarterly basis. So he comes in every couple months. And it's always a pleasure to have you here. This is such a fun show to do.
I always have too much music, too. I bring a stack of CDs, and because we have so many great listeners who call in, we never get to all the CDs. But
well, we still want to have people call in. I don't want to discourage people from calling in.
Oh, no, it's fun to talk.
But I guess what we should do is maybe play some more music so we keep on the pace.
Well, let me tell people about this group, though. These people are something else. They're four guys from Washington, D.C., and they call themselves Da Vinci's Notebook, as in Leonardo da Vinci. And they are a cappella, and yet you wouldn't know it all the time from their performance because three of them may imitate instruments while one of them sings the lead vocal, or they may do four-part harmonies. On stage, they are a visual as well as audio act. They're just incredible on stage. They have some CDs. They don't always translate that well for radio, but everybody likes to knock Bill Gates, and Da Vinci's Notebook is no exception.
Working on a laptop close to the end of a job I've been doing since 10:30. I don't believe that it's frozen again. The system has gone down, oh, down, oh, down, oh. I don't believe that it's frozen again. The system has gone down, oh. So I took it down to the help desk guy. I said, make it better or I'm gonna cry. He said, I'm sorry, your computer has died. The data can no longer be found, oh, found, oh, found, oh. He said, I'm sorry, your computer has died. The data can no longer be found, oh. To the roof with a laptop I did go. Over to the edge and I gave it a throw. And when it arrived seven stories below, it really made a mighty fine sound, oh. Sound, oh, sound, oh. When it arrived seven stories below, it really made a mighty fine sound, oh. Well, that didn't do enough to ease my pain. So I went down to Dulles and I got on a plane, saying this is all Billy Gates' fault. I'm gonna be tracking him down, oh. Down, oh, down, oh. This is all Billy Gates' fault. I'm gonna be tracking him down, oh. Touchdown in Seattle and got off the plane. Hit Starbucks to get out of the rain. Paid all of my dough for a thimble of Joe, full of foam and the cinnamon brown, oh, brown, oh, brown, oh. All of my dough for a thimble of Joe, full of foam and the cinnamon brown, oh. When the Gates found out about my plan, he packed up a bag, turned tail and ran. Megaloman took it out on the lam and hid way underground, oh, ground, oh, ground, oh. Megaloman took it out on the lam and hid way underground, oh. Well, the Gate's been a-running ever since that day. Thinks he can hide, but he can't get away. When I finally find his little skinny behind, gotta kick it all over this town, oh. Town, oh, town, oh. Finally find his little skinny behind, gonna kick it all over this town.
Da Vinci's Notebook.
We're presenting them in our Folk Stage series next May. They're coming to Chicago for the first time, and they're going to have a live broadcast concert. I don't know how we're going to handle them on the air because they are pretty wild. They have some kind of risque songs as well, so it'll be kind of interesting.
Okay. Well, that sort of fits in here with this afternoon when we were talking earlier about the Grand Prix Gibraltar and the sports cast of a symphony. They got the same kind of energy there and that same kind of idea of doing things creatively with the with the voice box.
Yeah, they sure can. They're, you see them on stage, they are something else. I saw them at the Philadelphia Folk Festival this past August, and they were just so wild. They were real crowd pleasers.
And guess what happened while we were playing that?
Somebody called.
No, my computer is crashing.
Well, Bill Gates heard that and immediately said, terminate WILL, right. There are more people. I think we have half an hour of songs making fun of Gates or Microsoft now in our library, because you can see what a major social influence this has become and how people are just reacting to it. So,
Da Vinci's Notebook. I'm writing these down. Also, speaking of the tunes and of the web, we're going to put what we've played here today. We'll put it on our website. So if people are out there listening today and they're driving or something, they can look it up at a later time and find out. I really want to know, what was that song? What was that group? So it'll be there, the list of what we have played today. We do have a listener coming in now, and I won't be able to tell you where they're calling from, although they're on line one. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Oh, great. Midnight Special is my favorite show, and it's the one we always pledge our money on, and just can't say enough good things. It's so nice that you have him on every so often, and now quarterly. I'm thinking that one of the early shows that they played on Saturdays at 7 on the FM station was a week's for Saturdays of the stage, the one or two folk singers that come weekly, monthly over to the Old Town School of Folk Music, and that was one of the ones evidently that didn't get enough positive phone calls, and I hope they run that one again so that people have a chance to listen again. I think it was the first show of the Saturdays at 7.
Yeah, I know that Jake tries some shows out in that time slot. So.
Right. So I'm hoping he'll run that one again, just to see, and have more people listen to it, because since it was the first show of the Saturdays at 7, I don't think it got a lot of attention.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Other calls are welcome. Join us here at 333-WILL or toll-free 800-222-WILL.
You know, I think I can just tell you a little anecdote. Is this lady was wonderful calling in, and listeners to the Midnight Special are truly wonderful people. We have decided to move the Midnight Special record library from WFMT in Chicago to my secret location here in Champaign County, and I'm going to produce the radio show at home. And to make the move possible, 20 of my listeners volunteered to pack the library. One of them donated a truck. They drove it down here. They unpacked the library, reshelved it in my basement fortress, and all done by listeners. And it's just a pleasure to have listeners who are such wonderful people. And
yeah,
it's really a great joy. We can move on now. This is actually tangentially what that lady was talking about, the Old Town School and things.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really talented performer who grew up in Chicago, spent most of his younger life there, moved to Portland, Oregon about 5 years ago. His name is Andrew Calhoun. He's a brilliant songwriter, has his own record label called Waterbug Records. He's put a lot of different people besides himself. And Andrew and I had sort of, even though he's a few years younger than I am, both knew John Prine when John was starting out in the old days in Chicago, when he was still just basically a singing mailman. And the changes that occurred with John Prine as he became more and more famous. And this song attracted a lot of interest when we played it on the Midnight Special about John Prine. This is Andrew Calhoun.
My folks did not go out much, not even a movie. And folk was politic back then, protest and feeling groovy. We lived out in the suburbs, it was a special thing. When they drove into Chicago to hear a mailman sing. That next week they took my sister, 1 week later they took me. I got a stamp on the back of my hand and I saw my destiny. Just an ordinary mailman with a gift for stringing words, who wrote and sang the greatest songs that we had ever heard. And everyone was different and every time was new, And every other month or so he'd write a song or two, with mugs of coke and peanuts in the musk and cigarettes. We'd sit through Rockstar Wannabes to hear John's second set, Hello and There and Paradise and Flag Decal again, and one he never did record, Will Anybody Be My Friend? Will Anybody Be My Friend? At Glen Ellen Junior High School, the guys called me a fag. My homeroom teacher called me out, I wouldn't pledge the flag. There was Johnny Cash on Wednesday nights to make life worth the time, waiting for the weekend, going down to see John Prine. On Christmas there was no one in the old Fifth Peg's back room but our family and one couple listening in the gloom. Then I called out a favorite song, John stopped his show and smiled at me in a growing silence. There I felt like heaven's child. It's a blessing I would carry through trouble, dread, and tears. And I gave John a pocket knife that he kept for luck for years. With two full sets and sometimes three each night, a double bill, everybody knew the reason that black room began to fill. With a feature in the Daily News and two in the Sun-Times, there were folks from every walk of life going down to see John Prine. And so it was a joyful thing, and sorry now, because it's just a ghost of memory how beautiful it was. That song so filled with loneliness should leave us less alone, as if to love your neighbor were as easy as the phone. He'd sing, a friend that's been turned down will be a friend of mine. Strangers felt like family then, going down to see John Prine. So we all were happy, and happy for his sake, when Goodman brought Christofferson to score John his big break. We'd see him at the Airy Crown, up there where he belongs, to think that now the hungry world would get to hear these songs. And a few years on in Boston, we went down to see his show. We waited in the hallway, but he couldn't say hello. We saw him being interviewed, my sister Jane explained. That's all part of his job now, publicity's insane. The critics raved, the drunkards roared, the groupies got in line. It would never be the same going down to see John Prine. At the folky Sunday softball, for weeks they had it planned. John would come to play a game with his entire band. I had my year-old son there, we had brought him down to see a man who just ignored him and barely noticed me. He was out of shape and shouting like his good time wasn't real. Then he headed out for a private thing with the boys in center field. And I wished it didn't matter, and I wished I didn't care. Just my tough luck to love someone who wasn't really there. On a sunny summer afternoon, for me the game was blown. Who'd believe this strung-out fool was the man who wrote Sandstone? At Rose Record Store on Ashland, 1987, it felt a mile awkward when I stopped in to see him. A woman had her picture taken with him there and signed, but it just made me nervous going down to see John Prine. And at his last accounting there's bound to be a do, with St. Peter and the Muses and Montgomery's Angel too, saying who's to speak for anyone and who's to cast a stone at one who eased our loneliness but couldn't bear his own. And if I reach the pearly gates when comes my time to go, hope St. Peter's not too busy to step out and say hello. Will he sing, the friend that's been turned down will be a friend of mine? or stamp the back of my right hand, going down to see John Prine. There in the gloom I will request my favorite songs again. Paradise, hello in there, will anybody be my friend? That's paradise, hello in there, will anybody be my friend?
Going down to see John Prine, Andrew Calhoun from Tiger Tattoo.
Yeah, Andrew is a fascinating guy and writes some really remarkable songs. And that one has really got a lot of people interested in this new CD. It's the first thing he's put out in 3 or 4 years now since he moved to Portland. And all I can say is that I've had similar experience with John Prine. So it's not just Andrew's take on it. And I think some of it's more his management than him personally. But in any event, rarely do you get singer-songwriters writing songs about singer-songwriters.
You know, it strikes me over the last, we've been doing this now off and on, a couple of years.
Oh, at least, yeah. 3 or 4.
The beautiful artwork that these folks are doing, somebody's doing for the inserts that go into the CDs.
You know, there was a long transition because after LPs, people really mastered the art of the 12-inch painting or the 12-inch photograph of these beautiful album artworks. And we went to CDs, everybody got confused. How do you do it in a 5-inch square or 6-inch square format instead? It's tiny miniatures rather than these big.
Yeah.
And now they're really understanding the format of these little CD booklets, and they're even putting the art on the CD itself. And it's really changed how beautiful some of these covers are, it's really nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was such a switch to go from LPs to CDs. I remember my spouse and I, first CD we bought way back when, we took this little insert out and threw it away. It was like, well, what do we need this for? This is not an album cover, you know? Like, eh. And then afterwards we went, what did we do that for? That's the artwork. But it was not very good artwork, I'll tell you. I can't even remember what it was, but it was not very impressive. And it might have been a reissue, and there was like Zippo on the inside.
Yeah, that really bugs me when I get a recording where there's no credits, nothing, just a sheet of paper in the front and no booklet.
Yeah, they reissue things and then they don't put the original notes in there.
Now they're doing all kinds of fancy cardboard covers with trays, and then the booklet slides out of the cardboard, and it's a whole different format than it used to be. And they're doing all kinds of, some of these booklets are quadruple fold or decuple fold cardboard cases where it keeps like an accordion, what was that toy? It's sort of like a slinky, you know, it just keeps coming out. So they've done all kinds of formats now with CD. It's really changed from when they started.
Yeah, and even the discs themselves can be very fanciful.
Yeah, the trouble is for those of us who are DJs is that sometimes they forget to put their name on the disc, and you get this beautiful artwork on this disc, and you can't figure out which case it goes back in because it's no identification on the disc, just this artwork. And if it doesn't match the case, you're in real trouble.
Interesting. This is the Afternoon Magazine, and the host of the Midnight Special is here with us this afternoon. Rich Warren is here. Listeners, you're invited to join us. Give us a telephone call, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, call toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. No one's waiting for us at the moment. Is that a go-ahead for another tune?
Sure, why not? This is a group I'm really fond of. Sometimes they're a quartet. Most often they're a quintet. They're called Tanglefoot. They're from Canada, and they've put out about 4 albums, 4 CDs. And the neat thing about their music is that every song that Tanglefoot writes, and there's no one writer in the group, all of them share the writing credits, is based on a true event of Canadian history. And this particular song is from the War of 1812, when the Americans were shellacking the Canadians on Lake Ontario, I guess it was, and unfortunately the famous British general had died, and they were taking his ship and all his possessions back to England, and the Americans were about to blow it out of the water until the Canadian captain cried to them, have you no mercy? Is the man's possessions going back to England? And the American captain gallantly cried, pass, please pass. And of course, we don't do that in war anymore. We just blow them out of the water. But I don't know if I have time for the whole song because it's like a 6-minute song, but to give an idea of the texture and the sound of Tanglefoot, they are just a wonderful group. And if you see them in person, if they ever come to town or near here, run to see them, because in person they are just a blast. And here they are, Tanglefoot. I like to apologize because I told him track 8, and it's really track 3, which is what we want to hear on this, so it's entirely my error.
Now gather round, you schooner men, for tonight there's a yarn toward. 'Tis a tale of honor from the days when against the states we warred. The decent act of a decent man, and I know of what I tell. I'm the last who choked on powder smoke in the war of 1812. We'd been sailing in a convoy out on Lake Ontario. Our ship, she was the Moira, and we had a sloop in tow. There was Yankee sail aplenty, we all knew upon the lake. To come under the guns of a Yankee ship was a chance we'd have to take.
It's a hard growing life we hold, all of us duty bound. We eat, drink, and rarely think beyond what the task allows. But there's a generous strand in every man, whether he will or not. So here's a pail of Canadian ale to a man who paused for thought.
Full 40 miles to Kingston yet, when the big lake went to glass, and the smothering snow began to fall, we were dead calm, thick and fast. The shrouds hung slack and empty, no chance to make harbor now. The snow fell heavy as drunken sleep, and we couldn't see stern to prow. As we peered around in a sea of white, a menacing darkness loomed, and slow as death, a Yankee warship ranged up into view. 'Twas Commodore Chauncey's flagship, the Oneida Brig of War. We knew she'd stowed the Simcoe in just a couple of days before.
It's a hard growing life we hold, all of us duty bound. We eat, drink, and rarely think beyond what the task allows. But there's a generous strand in every man, whether he will or not. So here's a pail of Canadian ale to a man who paused for thought.
She couldn't have been 10 fathoms off, she loomed like a mountainside. Her flag hung red like an angry eye, and her guns were all a-primed. Fair braced were we for a hail of shot, for double our weight she bore. But before a single flint was struck, we heard our captain roar. Pray stand away from the sloop we tow, there's precious cargo there. We'll cut her loose to drift and leave, then we'll fight you fair and square. We fear you not, nor our own demise, it's rather the sloop we mind. What's in her hold is worth much more than both our ships combined.
It's a hard growing life we hold, all of us duty bound. We eat, drink, and rarely think beyond what the task allows. But there's a generous strand in every man, whether he will or not. So here's a pail of Canadian ale to a man who paused for thought.
We care not what you transport, you'll neither pass nor run. You're in no place to bargain, we outgun you 2-1. In the name of God, our captain cried, do not go so hard. Are you so brass-bound that you cannot think like a man in this regard? These 3 weeks dead is General Brock and laid beneath the ground. The sloop carries his possessions, and to Guernsey we are bound. His sword, his plate, his uniform, his papers, books, and arms. Our charge is to convey them back to Guernsey without harm. The stars and stripes from their main peak hung aloft in a breeze just come, and the massive brig swung just enough to present us all 8 guns. If indeed the
effects of Sir Isaac Brockar. What you do convey, the Commodore's compliments to you all. We'll meet another day.
It's a hard going life we hoe, all of us duty bound. We eat, drink, and rarely think beyond what the task allows. But there's a generous strand in every man, whether he will or not. So here's a pail of Canadian ale to a man who paused for thought. It's a hard road and life we hoe, all of us duty bound. We eat, drink, and rarely think beyond what the task allows. But there's a generous strand in every man, whether he will or not. So here's a pail of Canadian ale to a man who paused for thought.
Commodore's compliments, Tanglefoot.
They are just a lively group, great melodies, and all based on true history. This is things that actually happened that they've set to music, and that's what makes it so much fun, is they work with historical incidents like that, and it makes it an interesting group. It's educational. It's good for kids to listen to this music because it tells the stories of the past, you know.
Well, it's interesting because it reminds me of the famous armistice at Christmas time in World War I, and I think of this because there's a new book out. I have stacks, and you get CDs. I get books.
I've noticed.
And there's a book in there that has been written about this World War I armistice, which has also been the subject of a song. Right?
Yeah, John McCutcheon wrote "Christmas in the Trenches," which a dozen people have recorded now, and it's just a terrific song. And maybe we'll play that close to Christmas time.
Okay, very good. In the meantime, what do you say we wrap up here with one more tune?
Well, Kate Campbell, who's played here in town at the Iron Post, and she's a great songwriter from the South, and this is a very funny tongue-in-cheek song about what's happening to the South.
One, two, ready, play. I'm finally living in the new South. They make Mercedes down in Vance, Alabama, and Tennessee is cranking Nissans out. I read about it in my Wall Street Journal. We're all living in the new South. They'll valet park you at the Thank you.
Kate Campbell. Now, that is just sad.
Yeah, it reminds me of the report they had on 60 Minutes Sunday night on CBS about what's happening in the New South. So it sort of fits.
Yeah. Kate Campbell. And Rich, thanks so much.
Oh, always my pleasure.
See you in a couple months. Rich Warren, host of the Midnight Special.